Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
Hi, Taylor.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, good. Anything you think I should know about that you've been doing or seen lately that is what you would share?
Yeah, you know what I've been watching is The Perfect Couple, the Netflix show based on the Ellen Hildenbrand book. And for those of you who don't know, it's definitely in that genre of rich white people being naughty, which I love. And the cool thing about it is it takes place on Nantucket. So as listeners may know, that's a place where we have spent a lot of time and it's not a big island. So it's pretty easy to pick up on what they're talking about and connect it to something that, we're very familiar with.
Well, I have completed it and I believe that you have not. So you
no
will
spoilers.
Be quite surprised at the end. And I must confess that I was sadly disappointed because someone told me that they actually filmed most of it in Chatham.
Yeah, you can tell.
Cape. So it didn't feel quite like Nantucket to me, but it was still, as you said, a Nantucket story. And
yeah, I mean, if you don't know, if you haven't been to either place, you probably cannot tell the difference. If you have been to both places, there's subtle differences. Like the ferry terminal is not the ferry terminal on Nantucket.
Correct.
Some of the harbor shots are clearly not Nantucket Harbor. But like, you know, do they get the gray shingles with the white trim right?
Sure.
Do they get the dune grass beaches right? Yeah, they do. And it would have been awesome if they could film on Nantucket, but I'm sure that was hard to do.
Right.
And by the way, not for nothing, I love Nicole Kidman. I think she's an amazing actress. And this is like her bread and butter kind of role, like elegant, talented, fearsome woman. So
I got mixed feelings about her.
Yeah.
But some of it was the role she was playing.
Yeah.
Right.
So. I know, right? Some of the characters. You know what it reminds me of, by the way? I'm sorry, one more thing about Nantucket. Do you read the Nantucket Current?
Yes, I read it every day.
It is like the in real life version in newspaper format of rich white people being naughty. there's always some ridiculous gossip about two guys that got into an explosive argument over their yachts or suing each other because one guy thinks the other person's music is too loud and yada, yada, yada.
For a small island, it's got a lot of controversial issues.
I mean, it's just, it's like
people are close, right?
People are close. It is extremely affluent and it's everybody on vacation, right? So this is not their like buttoned up professional version of themselves. This is how they behave when they are off the clock.
Yes. Totally understand.
Yeah. Cool. So this week we're talking about Halloween activities in Boston. So Boston has some things that are pretty intense about Halloween. You know, the whole Salem witch trial thing really like kicks that up a notch here. And so it's a fun time of year in Boston. So why don't we talk a little bit about what are some of the most popular Halloween traditions that are unique to Boston?
I think you've hit probably the most famous one is going to the town of Salem and having the experience of witches and Halloween, the whole town decorates. It's it's pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's a zoo. And they've got some, they actually have some legitimately scary witch trial museums there. And not for nothing though, if did you know Salem once was the richest town in America?
No.
And you can see that in the architecture. So it used to be the hub of the East-West spice trade in the Americas.
Huh,
so
that makes sense. Yeah. And I think Parker Brothers, the game makers, were located there. And there's some industries that you would never expect to find in Salem that landed there.
Right. It's a beautiful New England town. And so come Halloween, like obviously when you go there during Halloween, everything's about witches and Halloween, pumpkins, cobwebs, spooky stuff. But it's also a fun place to visit in the summer just because it's a cute little New England town.
But during the month of October is the time to go if you want to get that vibe of kind of what was happening with the Salem witch trials. And it's just, it's probably the only city I've been to that is really witchy.
Yeah.
You know, during the holiday season.
Yeah.
It's truly set up to handle Halloween.
Yes, they definitely lean into that part of their history. For you, how has the presence of like college student in Boston influenced the Halloween culture?
Well,
I've got a couple of thoughts for you, but.
Well, for sure, I would say that when you have something like 35 colleges in a city the size of Boston, as you can well imagine, for college students, Halloween is a big, big drinking event and costume event.
Yeah.
So everybody really takes some serious steps to make themselves participate in kind of the fun that surrounds Halloween and bar hopping and, you know, trick-or-treating and all those kinds of activities.
Totally. Boston is America's largest college town. And anybody who went to college knows that Halloween is a big deal in Boston. And then last question on this, what are some of the spots that you would recommend for trick-or-treating in the Boston area? And why don't we start by saying probably in your own town, there's like a neighborhood or a couple of neighborhoods that are the spot to go to. But maybe there's some other ones that you'd think about.
It's funny. I think Halloween has changed a little bit because I think there was a time period where it was geared towards much younger kids and they would go to, like you said, a specific group of houses around where they lived, whether it was Beacon Hill, South End, you know, they weren't going all over the city. I think even in the suburbs, you know, the little kids come out, but only if the weather's really good and they can get to a few close houses.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's changed a little bit because some of these older kids, and I have to say, as a grandmother, when the Grim Reaper comes to my house asking for candy, it's really hard for me to say, sure, here's two things of candy when he looks
like a
scary
teenager.
And gross. And there's nothing about him that looks appealing.
Yeah.
So I think Beacon Hill, I think South End, I mean, I think there are places that people live that they tend to go to the small area around them.
Yeah, I've been to Beacon Hill a couple of times for Halloween, and it is super fun, right? Because for starters, the architecture in Beacon Hill really lends itself to holiday decor, right? You've got these big, beautiful homes. A lot of them have really big windows in front.
And Lewisburg Square is renowned for people kind of come there to get their Halloween treats from people.
Yes, exactly. And so people put on like performances. A lot of people do like cool stuff with the lighting inside their house to make it look haunted.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a place to visit that's maybe a little bit further afield, that's where I would go.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So we'll be back in just a minute with a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom.
Oh, God, this is
terrible. Question for you. How do you balance work and personal life, considering the nature of our job?
So when I started this job many years ago, I thought it would give me flexibility. And I thought having three small children, flexibility was key into a job. It was obviously before cell phones, before fax machine, you know, before... Mm-hmm.
Before Google Maps?
Google Maps, anything like that. You had a map book in your car. You had an actual book that they sent out each week with all the houses for sale.
Right.
So it certainly has changed over time. And I think finding a balance between work and professional life and personal life is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find is at some point you have to say, block out a time that you have something that you have to do or that you're going to do and work around that time. It's very difficult in real estate because you're micromanaging like one realtor's schedule, another realtor's schedule, the buyers, the sellers.
Yeah.
So there are four people's schedules that are trying to align. So it's tough to do.
Right.
And I try to spread it over 7 days and say, okay, Monday morning, I'm going to do catch up for the things I've got to do or a doctor's appointment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only way you do it is to schedule things in a calendar and just put some restrictions in there and just say, I can't show it then, but I will happily show you at this, this, and this time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You would know because you've got three little kids now.
I do.
It's tough.
Yes, it is hard. But, you know, the nice thing is I'm not locked into the morning and the evening commutes, right? That's a game changer. So
correct.
Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston, or on the web at yeatsboston.com.